Hey, good morning. It is good to be in God's house again this morning. It's good to see so many people here. We are in the middle of this exciting series called Get Fit. And with the summer is kind of here, whatever, the weather's broken. And we're on a mission to get fit. Get fit financially, relationally, spiritually. Let's see, mentally, I think that was the one, and emotionally. We're getting fit, hopefully. And so since you guys are well on the way of getting fit, I just want to kind of encourage you this morning in some way that we can keep going, keep on this track of getting fit and in all these different ways. And I just want to exalt Jesus as our ultimate example of somebody that is being fit in every single way, in every single sphere of life. Jesus is our ultimate supreme example of what it looks like to do life supremely well on earth. And so he is the one that we're here for this morning. He is the one that we're exalting. He's the one that we're aspiring to be like. Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And he is the greatest name, the greatest fame, the greatest renown that ever was, ever is, and ever will be. And we want to be spiritually fit because Jesus was spiritually fit, and we want to model our lives after his. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to be transformed into his likeness. And so that's, Jesus is what we're trying to exalt this morning. And relational fitness is what we're talking about. And really, this could have been done at the first message of fitness, and it fits well at the end, because relational fitness makes all the other spheres of fitness more possible, if that makes any sense. I'll talk more about that, but I feel a little over my head this morning, so let me pray and just ask God to come and just bless our time together this morning. So Jesus, I pray that your power would intersect our lives this morning. Everyone that is present here, God, I pray that you would just communicate something from your word to each of us and encourage us to be more like Jesus, to become more like Jesus, and become more fit for this world, to bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, as we try to be fit in all these different spheres of life. So Jesus, would you just please intersect and come and use my mouth, my speaking apparatus, as a tool to encourage your body, the temple of Christ, here this morning. So God, just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for coming out here. It's so good. It's encouraging. It's much better to speak to this many people than four or five people. So thanks for coming out. You made a good choice for coming out. We're looking at Philippians 2. Some of you might go to this passage at Christmas time because it's just painting the picture of how Christ didn't see equality of God something to be grasped, but he put it aside and he took it all the way to the cross and then was victorious. And so really, at the core of what I'm trying to say is the gospel message. It's Jesus humbling himself, which, as we'll see, humility is a huge, helpful thing for relational fitness. So again, Jesus is our ultimate example of fitness. And we want to just consider Philippians, like I said. But before we dive into the text here, I want to kind of give everybody kind of a review of Philippians, the book of Philippians. So Philippians was written by Paul, and the church at Philippi was probably the first. They say it's the first church that Paul planted or founded in Europe by Paul. And so there's this kind of unique personal aspect that Paul writes with. And in fact, Paul's very structured and very careful, and he's kind of a scholar in the way he writes most of his books. But Philippians, he kind of takes off that scholarly perspective, and he talks more from a personal perspective. He's more like, this is my first child in Europe, in other words. This is the first church I planted. So there's this kind of personal connection Paul has. And he's writing this book from jail. It says in chains, which probably Paul was in some ways just kind of, he was in a desperate situation, and so he remembered his relational connections in the church of Philippi. And so he longed to write and stay connected with them, because he probably feared that it would be easy for the church at Philippi to kind of forget about him in jail. So he stays connected, and as we'll see, like, it's important to have good communication. Communication is one of the main building blocks. Good communication is a good building block in relational fitness. And so Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. There's a couple things he's concerned with, but the primary theme, the primary kind of thrust in his writing in the book of Philippians is encouragement. He just wants to get behind this church that has had some disunity. They're not all of one mind. So there's some relational strife going on, and he wants to encourage them. In chapter 4, he says, right after he kind of personally identifies a few of these conflicts within the church with Euodia and Syntyche, he says, be of the same mind. And then he says, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. And don't be anxious about anything. And you know, when we get stressed in relationships, when we get kind of have conflict in relationships, it's easy to get stressed out. It's easy to have anxious thoughts about, oh my, what if, or what if this doesn't work out? And so Paul is kind of addressing that and saying, don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And so that's another good thing we can do in relationship, is just take it to Christ, take it to God when we get anxious thoughts, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, he says in chapter 4. Another big theme in the book is just kind of bringing back unity, bringing kind of making it like-minded. And then we have Lydia was the first convert in Philippi. She was a seller of purple and then went on to be an evangelist for that church and was stayed involved there. It's one of the kind of brightest examples of a woman that's recorded doing significant things in the early church. And so it's important for all of us just to kind of get unified, get on the same mind, get in on the same page relationally so that we can be a force moving forward for the good of the gospel, for the good of Jesus Christ, who is our example. We're going to be talking about relational barriers. We're talking about relational building blocks. And you know, we all have kind of unique diversity in our lives. We all have people, unique people, different people. Everybody is different. And so we can either choose to make those challenges or the unique aspects of the other person. We can make that a building block, or we make that a barrier for good relationship. So that's kind of where we're going in Philippians here. I just want to kind of give you an outline of the text that was read this morning. It starts off there in 1-4 is just humility towards others, not considering yourself as more highly than you ought or as better than the other people. Check out verse 3 and verse 4. I just want to read those again. And this is if you want to be relationally fit, pay close attention to these few verses, because do nothing out of selfish ambition. And there it is, selfish ambition. Doesn't self get in the way a lot of times when it comes to relationships? Or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking out for your own interests, but looking out for the interests of others. And then he goes on, and in the next part of the passage there, we have this kind of hymn about Jesus, about Christ, who also didn't consider himself more highly, like he didn't even want to be equal with God. He humbled himself and came down on this earth, and now he has been exalted because of his willingness to be humbled and to come down and then die the most kind of humiliating death possible on the cross, and being just shamed on the cross by his peers, and then God resurrected him from the grave, and now he's exalted the right hand. And then from 12 to verse 18 is just kind of Paul as an example of a humble servant. And then the following chapter we see Timothy and Euodica, that is another example of what it means to be humble in service. So just try to define what relational fitness or well-being looks like. This is just kind of a standard attempt at defining it from University of California, Davis. It says that having relationships, this is relational well-being or fitness, having relationships and connections that allow you to interact with others, especially when going through difficult times. And this involves building healthy, nurturing, and supportive relationships, as well as fostering genuine connection with the people around you. And that is maybe the most important reason for everybody, or one of the most important reasons for everybody to think about this relational fitness and think about how important it is. And it's important so that you can become more fit in all these other spheres of life, but it's also important because we can't control what happens to us. And so maybe tough times are coming in your life. Maybe you're in tough times, and maybe relationships around you are kind of lifting you up at the current moment. I know for me, back in 2005, when I was in an airplane accident, in a coma for a couple weeks, completely unable to do anything and stuff, it was the relationships that I had in my life that came through for me. It was the relationships that prayed for me. It was the relationships that came out to Idaho to visit me. It was in that kind of difficult time that had I been out on my island by myself, I don't know if I would have survived. I really don't know. But the relationships around me, the people I had invested in, were the ones that showed up in those difficult times. And that is a beautiful picture of the church. We, as a body of Christ, because you're here, because you're in relationship with the body of Christ, when tough times come, you have a sphere of believers. You have a sphere of people that can pray for you, that can serve. And we just enjoyed some meals from people in this church that brought meals because we just recently had another baby. And that's the beauty of relationships. So being relationally fit is important, and it's helpful in life. Another kind of example of difficult times, which this is just happened Thursday evening. My first cousin, Brian Miller, he's just finishing up his residency as an emergency room doctor. And he tries to stay physically fit, and I've been running with him and stuff. We'd run 5 miles and whatever. So anyway, he's as an effort in his residency as a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, he was biking to work frequently. He just got married a year and a half ago and has a 6-month-old kid. And he was cycling home from his workplace, and a car struck him on the way home and fell off his bike, cracked his helmet, broke his neck, bleeding on the brain, and he was taken right back to the same emergency room he just left from and served from. So it was hard for the doctors and the nurses and all that. Just this morning, he went into surgery again, trying to stabilize his broken vertebrae and stuff. There's some hope there for recovery, but it's not out of the woods. But you know, I know for a fact that he has invested in lots and lots of good relationships. And now, in this time, when he's not able to help himself, when he's in the hospital, he's got the best medical personnel. He's invested in their friendships, and so they're taking optimal care of him. And people are praying for him all over the place. And so it's really important. And the two I mentioned were physical difficulties, but maybe there's relational difficulties you're going through. When you get into relationship, that's really important to have those when the tough times come. And so I just want to hopefully encourage you that you guys, everybody here, can just become more relationally fit, because who knows what's coming. And like I said, relational fitness allows us to be more physically fit, allows us to be more spiritually fit, because I don't know about you, but I can go to the gym by myself and I can kind of crank it out and make it happen. But man, it is so much more fun if I'm there with Joe or anybody else, because then it's like a competition. I'm like, I can do more than he can. No, I enjoyed working out with him once or twice, but there's this kind of aspect that you can't, like, it's just easier to work out when you're kind of in conversation and working out with somebody. And the same with spiritual things, like being involved in a small group is important, because then you can be in relational fitness, and kind of the benefit of that is you become more spiritually fit also, because you can encourage one another and kind of mature one another through that fellowship. It's the way God designed it. And so if you're not in a small group, we have small groups here, and I would love to talk to you and try to get you placed in a small group so you too can be kind of in that sphere of relationships, that safe relationships that you can encourage one another. And so we have this kind of healthy foundations. Thinking about relationships, we want to have healthy foundations for our relationships. And so it's not me relational, or it's not me lational. It's not even we lational. It's not just about you and me, but healthy foundations, healthy relationships. There's this kind of three aspects. We have God as a foundation, then we have others, and then ourselves. That's what it looks like to have a good kind of triangular relational fitness, is to have these three aspects. You have to have Jesus as our example. Otherwise, it's just trying to do good things, or is trying to be nice to one another or something. But when we have three relational, when we have God, others, and ourselves, then we have what it takes. We have the three aspects that it takes to be relationally fit and to be together and to be fit. And so I brought a few of Abiel's toys this morning. We have these four men up here. We have the cowboy from Texas. Let's see, we have the Native American. And we have, I don't know, is that Susie or somebody from wherever? And this is the cowboy from Montana. And so we have a choice. The choice. Are we going to make building blocks out of differences? All these people are different. Are we going to make building blocks out of it? Or are we going to kind of embrace the diversity? Are we going to embrace the uniqueness? If we just make barriers, then there's no way that they can get together and be in relationship, in a healthy relationship. But if we use these things as a building block, then they can be in relational proximity. They can be together and they can have fellowship. And all these things break down here and there, but in this example, like, it kind of puts them out of the crowd. It lifts them out of the crowd so that people around them with broken relationships, with bad relationships, can see that, hey, these people have something going on. And that's what the body of Christ does. When we have healthy relationships and we're growing spiritually, people around us are going to be like, whoa, there's something different there. I like that safety. There's something going on there that I would like too. And so that's what happens when you use building blocks instead of allowing these differences to become barriers in life. And so I just want to look at a few of these kind of common barriers that keep people from connecting relationally, keep them kind of apart. And the first one is poor communication. It is critically important for everyone to have good communication. If you're going to be relationally fit, you're going to have good communication. And you know, I'm just kind of figuring that out over the last 4 years or 4.5 years since I've been married to Crystal. I've just been figuring out how important it is to have good, clear communication. And all you guys have married 5 years or more, you're like, got that, thank you very much. And but it's important, even like at the deeper levels, to communicate clearly, because if there's misunderstanding, there's often kind of challenges that come out of that. And sometimes us as guys, we're just kind of stupid relationally. So I'm just grateful for women that kind of have more insight relationally. And sometimes us as guys can just kind of not even get the point, or kind of, we actually see the point, but then we just talk about that and we don't talk about the issue that's going on in the relationship, if you know what I mean. I have a little video I'm going to show about that, about guys. We can be kind of stupid and not see the real issue, but we talk about what we think is the real issue. And the junior youth on Friday night just told me that they liked when I show videos, and so I'm going to do that this morning, just a short video. Speaking of some of the challenges, this is more like men in kind of your special relationships with each other, with your spouse. Sometimes us as guys need to just kind of move around the what appears to be the real issue and talk about the real issue. So if you can play that video now, that'd be great. While she's queuing that up, I'll just tell you why the pulpit isn't here this morning. One of the main reasons is because I want to remove the barriers between you and I so we can be in relational fit setting, if you know what I mean. So I just thought I might as well just do that this morning. Is it not working? Well, you can keep working on that, and I'll keep going here. So we have, like I said, one of the main themes in the book of Philippians in general is encouragement. My goal is to encourage you in some way this morning and use Jesus as our supreme example. And I want to focus in on verses 6 and 7, especially from our text. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. And this is just exalting Jesus again. This is the first part of this hymn about Jesus Christ. It says, who being of the very nature of God. So Jesus was God. Jesus is fully God and fully human. And he, speaking of cross-cultural missionary, Jesus left his throne, left the throne in heaven and came down to make himself human. So he's fully God. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he didn't exalt himself over the Father while he was on earth, but he just continually, he got his cues from the Father. He had to go be in relationship with the Father. Many times he was removing himself from the busyness of life just so he can get away and pray and connect, reconnect with his Father. And that's critically important in relationships. And we can't connect if we have barriers in between us. We can't get into proximity relationally, but we can connect if we're close to each other, if we're together. If there's building blocks instead of barriers, we can connect. And that's what Jesus kind of exemplified when he was on earth. He would get away and pray. And so so far I've been talking about relationships kind of with each other and with other people. But it's also really important with this three relational thing with God, others, and ourselves. It's really important that we take time and just connect with God. It's important to connect with others, but some of us extroverted people just kind of tend to be with people all the time. But it's important to withdraw into solitude and just spend time with God and connect with Him there. Are we good? Okay, well, go ahead and roll that. Thank you, Vernon.
There's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. You do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're
out.
Not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy, I don't know what it is, and I'm not sleeping very well at all, and all my sweaters are snagged, I mean all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't!
So sometimes us as guys can just kind of not be getting the actual issue going on. We just see the one thing that we think is the issue and stuff. So I hope you can find some humor in that, and I hope it encourages you in some way. If we can go back to the PowerPoint, that'd be great. So it's important to have good communication. It's important to get kind of to the actual, the core issue or the root of the issue. And the next point I had is gossip. Gossip is going to create all sorts of barriers in your relationships. And, you know, sometimes us as Christians, we don't just straight out gossip. We Christianize it and say it in a prayer meeting, if you know what I mean. Oh man, yeah, did you hear about Becky? I saw her out with Joe the other day. I wonder if they have an affair. Or whatever. Like, we just start all these kind of gossip things, and sometimes we disguise it in a churchy setting or whatever. And that's going to create barriers in your relationships. Pride is kind of just at the core of so many of these things, and exalting self. And another big issue, and maybe this is a big issue, I mean, we have all these friends on Facebook and stuff, thousands of friends some of these people have, and yet it seems like these relationships aren't very qualitative or something. And I just heard a number recently, and I don't know how much of these to believe, but apparently teenagers average 9 hours a day on social media, like if you combine TV and Facebook and all these different things. That's more than a full-time job. 9 hours a day. And so I just have to wonder if that's really going to create a platform for relational fitness. And then we have this big issue of creating barriers is just self. I mean, we are obsessed with self. There's even a magazine called Self, I think. There's all sorts of, like, we have selfies. I heard recently that every day they estimate that 93 million selfies are taken. And people are trying to kind of portray, or they want to kind of capture them with a significant person or something, and they take selfies and put them on their Instagram and their Facebook and their Twitter and try to paint themselves as somebody they're actually not. But I remember in China, they have these kind of selfie sticks, and they like extend them out and take pictures. But did you know that that's actually kind of a dangerous activity? Check this out. In 2015, there's more people that died from taking selfies than that died from shark attacks. Because they got too close to the edge, they wanted to get it just right, and fell off and died or whatever. So it's dangerous to be all about yourself. Listen, especially teenagers, listen, don't take so many selfies and don't be stupid doing it. But self is an issue. Self is a barrier. We're obsessed with ourselves. We're in America, we are this kind of individualized culture, and we just need to remove those barriers and use them as building blocks, or create some building blocks for relationship. Then we have these, Henry Cloud, he wrote this book, How People Grow. It's a really good book. I just recently listened to it on my Audible app again. And basically, he's saying that secular counseling and secular methodologies and strategies have coping strategies, how to get kind of how to cope with your issues. But Jesus or Scripture has this kind of foundational transformation. Like, he talked about how frustrated he was coming out of school in this book. He talked about he'd have these people that were kind of learning how to cope with their issues, but they weren't actually getting better at the most basic levels. And it was when he and his friend Townsend kind of had this kind of epiphany that, wait, all these answers are in Scripture. And then they started seeing people getting better, not just coping better, but they were getting better. They were changing. And that's what Jesus does. And we come and we worship, and then we get transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we become different people. We become more like Jesus, which allows us to be relationally fit. You know, hurting people hurt people. And if you have a splinter in your hand, if you reach out and shake somebody's hand, and it's infected, and so it's going to hurt, and you're going to pull back. But if you're well, if you're like, if you're relationally well, if you're fit, and then you can be in relationship and add value to one another. And so if you need a book, I recommend that one, How People Grow by Henry Cloud. Now, speaking of some building blocks, how can you get from having barriers all the way up to building blocks and having diversity up here, Native Americans, Texan cowboys, and some building blocks. We see it here, Jesus' example in verse 6 and 7, like I mentioned here. He was equal with God, but he didn't consider that something to be used for his own advantage. But he humbled himself, even death to death on the cross. And Philippians 2, 6 and 7 highlights that. But one of the ways that I try to be relationally fit is just get up every day and think, okay, so I'm going to meet these people, and how can I add value to these people? Because if we're adding value to people, that's going to help with our relationships. And Stephen Covey says in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he said one of these habits is win-win. When you're dealing with people, when you're doing a business transaction with people, don't just think, how can I win or how can I get the best of this deal, but how can I win while I help them to win also? And so that's one of the ways that you can be relationally fit. And then just being generous, Psalms 112:5, all goes well to those who are generous and to those who lend freely. And then we also have love exemplified in Christ. And Christ is our supreme example of ultimately what it looks like to be humble and to be loving and to just be as relationally fit and as excellent in life in general. So what about you? Are you construing barriers between people around you? Are you relationally fit? Or is there room for growth? Can you turn some of these barriers into building blocks? So Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus is everything he says he is. And the scriptures say so many things about him. I want to end with this kind of real encouraging video. Again, I showed this video at the Journey Youth thing Friday night, but it's just exalting Jesus and it's making much of him. And this is my intention or my goal with this is to somehow motivate all of us not only to be physically fit, spiritually fit, and all these things, but relationally fit, and how we can have emotional wellness or fitness, and how we can all work together. And our ultimate example of this fitness is Jesus Christ, and he is the all-sufficient. He provides everything we need. And so I hope this blows you away a little bit, this video, of how Jesus is our perfect example. So you can go ahead and play that. It's called That's My King.
My King is a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom.
So, amen. And I wonder, do you know him? He is our foundation. Let me just pray. Jesus, we exalt your name. You are everything that we aspire to be. You are the supreme example. Would you just help us infuse your power into our lives so we can be more like you? In Jesus' name, amen.